So good to be with every one of you tonight. What a privilege it is to share God's word with you. I do want to begin just by honoring Pastor Richard and Jackie. What a great couple who love Jesus and to walk with integrity through such a challenging season, to go through a season of suffering. We all face challenges, right? But so many of us, when we go through them, we're trying to figure out what to do and to see your character, to see your heart, to see your passion to still lead the church through this season. The amazing team last night, Paul mentioned that we got to spend some time together with the staff and the elders, and we laughed hard. You guys love to laugh, and it was so much fun. Would you put your hands together and just honor our pastors and elders and leaders? Come on, give them a great hand. You know, I sense that God is doing something special in this church, and I really believe that what is happening here is a miracle of God. I get the privilege of traveling a bit through the states and throughout our world, and I get to find myself in many different rooms of worship, and what God is doing here is something special. To be in a place where a church was planted 118 years and to see it generationally, the baton being passed, to see the next generation grasping a hold of it and saying, we will do great things for God in our city, in our time, and to see that continue to continue and grow is amazing. See, what you don't know is that the average church grows for about 10 years, plateaus for 10 years, declines for 10 years, and then they close their doors with that generation. And that has not been your life. That has not been the blessing of this place. God has done so much more here. And I just want to say to you, what a miracle you're holding on to. Quite often, we're holding a miracle, but because we're still needing a miracle, all of our attention is on the miracle that we still need. And we forget about the grace that God has given us and the miracle that we're holding. And I'm just here to say to you today that God has given you something great, and where you are heading is amazing. Can I get an amen in this place, right? Where you're heading, it's just amazing. Now, I need to just tell you a little bit about myself real quick. I'm from South Louisiana, at New Orleans, Louisiana. And if you have heard anything about us, we have 122 festivals a year in our city. We like to partay, all right? We like to have a good time. I'm one of six children too, so I come from just a crazy Italian family, and so I love to have a good time. I love to passionately preach the word of God. If you say amen, I will preach better and shorter, okay? Just thought of, yeah. I'm also accompanied by my beautiful wife. And throughout the day, I've passed on the opportunity of honoring her. But today, in this just last few weeks, you guys, 17 years of marriage, just a few weeks back on Good Friday, we celebrated 16 years of marriage. We have two beautiful children. I just want to honor you. Today, I want to help you to develop your capacity for more. If you're going to take some notes with me, and I think you should, I think you ought to write a few things down. I believe that you have an incredible capacity, but I also believe that you have a capacity for more than what you would ever think you have. And I want to help you. I want to help you to dive into and expand your thinking to believe that what you thought God could do, He can actually do bigger things than that. How many of you would say in this room that we serve a big God who still does big things? Come on. We serve a big God who still does big things. But quite often, because life is overwhelming, because life is challenging, we find ourselves kind of living in our little circle, in our home, in our situation, what we're walking through, what we're going through. And so our prayers, they start sounding like, God, would you give me finances? God, would you sustain my life? Would you just, and everything becomes about what's right here, my children, my home, my job, my life. And it becomes so much about a very small world. Listen, you are important to God. And God has already done the greater miracle of giving you life and giving you salvation. Wouldn't He give you the lesser miracle of sustaining that life? He will. He cares about you. But so often we get caught up in these things and we start saying, oh, God, would you give me financial blessing, which I believe for. God, would you send me a beautiful spouse? Come on, fellas. Anybody in the room? Come on, young ladies. God, would you send me a strong, strapping, hot young man to marry? I sense faith in the room for this right now. I sense faith. We pray prayers that are about us. And what I would love to say to you tonight is that God is always in the business of answering prayers. He always answers prayers. He never neglects. He never discards. He hears every prayer and he answers your prayers. But I need to tell you, he rarely answers prayers the way that you want. Because see, so many of us are focused on what we see and what we need and what seems to be right now. But we're missing the sovereign view of God. We're missing that God understands what's in your future and the capacity that he has for you. And so sometimes what we're praying for will actually hinder us from fulfilling that capacity. Maybe you remember your high school days where you had a young man or young woman in your life and you're like, oh, God, if I could only marry her. And if I could only have his children. And then things didn't work out the way you thought and you cried. And you found your favorite song and you cried again. And then 15 years later, after a beautiful marriage and children, you get to see the girl or guy that you prayed for. And you said, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I did not marry her, that I did not go there. We have a famous country music singer in the States, and some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. But I want you to know is that God did answer your prayer, just not the way you thought. Because he has a plan and he knows your capacity and he knows your future. And so when you pray silly prayers, he doesn't answer them that way. He answers them with his sovereign plan in mind. See, God is always answering prayers. He's always wanting to do great things in our lives and he is always looking at what he can do. And I think sometimes we kind of miss it. I liken it to the Apostle Peter, who was always willing to go first and to jump into situations and to jump out of the boat even to follow Jesus. We find in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28, the verse will be on screen. You can read along. It says, then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, would you tell me to come to you and walking on the water? Like, can I get out of the boat? Do you recall the story? The wind and the waves were beating the side of the boat and Jesus was walking past them. He was going to allow them to row themselves to the other side on their own. But Peter calls out and says, God, can I get out of the boat? And I love Jesus in the middle of this prayer. He says, yes, come, Jesus said. And so Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. And we would say in New Orleans, Louisiana, that he saw the alligator swimming by. He began to sink and to fall back and he says, save me, Lord. And I love the grace of God because even in our ambitious prayers, even in our wild prayers, even in the prayers that really don't make sense to what God wants for us, he still saves us in the middle of those moments. He said, save me, Lord. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Come on, would you read with me? He said, you have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me? See, God invited him and God answered his prayer, even though it wasn't what he really needed, to teach him something about his own faith, to show him that sometimes we need to be careful what we're praying for and what we're asking God for, because we have to understand that God sees beyond what we see. And right now, what I sense here at Anthem Church is God is stretching our capacity. That God is stretching us to a future that's bigger than us, a future that's more than what we can see or completely understand. But there's been 118 years of glorious ministry here, and God is saying we're going beyond here, and we're going to stretch out our tents, and we're going to expand into Cornubia, and we're going to expand a facility. Why? Why would we do that? Because God sees those who are here in the city. He sees those who are lost and those who are far from God. He sees you here as well, and he knows that he has to work through us to reach the world. See, God could do it all in a moment if he wanted. He could save us all in a moment, but he's chosen to do it through you and me. He's chosen to use us in the process of saving the world. What an amazing calling we have. Not only to go to heaven myself, but I can grab the hand of someone else and say, come with me. This is what it would be like to follow Jesus. I believe that he's expanding our capacity, but we have to understand that our prayers are important. And our heart is important. And what God is doing in us is as important as what he's doing in the world. I have this tendency to pray for God to give me good character. And for God to show up and pour great things into my life. And so I pray from Galatians chapter 5 for the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe you've done this. And I say, God, would you give me love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God, I want your character in my life. But I want you to know that as you look through love, joy, and peace, it sounds exciting. But the word patience means to wait for a long time with a good attitude. The King James Version of your Bible, instead of the word patience, it gives the words long suffering. So when you pray for the character of God, you're praying to suffer long. What I'm trying to help you to see today is that sometimes we have a very narrow view of our circumstance. And God is saying to us that we have to lift our eyes to his calling and his capacity. Because if God is still doing big things, he has not left you out of the equation. He has not set you to the side and said, no, you're not important, or I don't need you. No, he is calling you to be a part of his family. See, I need you to understand that God sees where you are and he wants to use you for great things. I come from a state that is 50th of 50 states when it comes to education. So as we have test scores, the state of Louisiana is 50th in 50 states. How many of y'all are proud of that right now? You're probably like, wow, he's doing okay. That's how I feel too. See, God uses every one of us. Those who have less, those who have more, those who look different than us, God has the capacity and the ability to use us no matter where we are or where we're from. He actually says he'll use the unwise to confound the wise. Now, not to brag, but if I'm honest with you tonight, I actually was valedictorian of my class. Again, I don't want to brag. And if you could stand it for me to be honest with you, I was also voted most likely to succeed. Again, it's a lot. Some of you, this may be a stretch, but some of you would agree. Also voted the best looking in my class. Now, it helped that I was homeschooled, everybody. Not a lot of competition there. But if God can use a young man, what we would say as a C student from South Louisiana, 50th of 50 states, he can certainly use you. And there's certainly a calling on your life and a capacity on your life for more. And so if we step back to the scriptures and we see and contrast the life of Peter, who is ambitious, but sometimes kind of just jumping into things, to a very wise young man named Solomon. Solomon was the son of King David. And King David is known for writing the book of Psalms. Today, most of our worship is based upon David's writings and his expression of worship. And David is going to meet the Lord, and he's chosen his son to stand in his place and to become king and to lead the nation. And Solomon is just overwhelmed with the idea of the greatness of what he is responsible for. And can I tell you, sometimes knowing your pastors and being a pastor, sometimes we look at the greatness of what God wants to do and we say, oh God, we don't know what to do. We need you, God, to show up, because God, we don't have the answers. You do know that leader does not mean better. Leader simply means I have to go first. And can I tell you, sometimes I wish you would go first. Sometimes I wish God would send somebody else. Leader doesn't mean better. It means that God is sending me into the environment and your pastors into the environment so that they can tell you where to go and what to do and how to sidestep some of the problems of faith. That's where Solomon is. And so Solomon, instead of asking God to kill all of his enemies, instead of asking God for good looks and for money or a faster chariot, right? Instead of asking God for all these things, he asked God for wisdom. He says, God, I just need you with the greatness of the calling and the greatness of the need. I need you to give me something I don't have. I need capacity to do this. And in 1 Kings 4:29, here's what it says God did for him. It says God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Would you read it with me? Come on, keep it on screen. Every voice in the room. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great and a breath of understanding. Great job. He gave him wisdom, insight, and understanding. Instead of giving him the answer to his prayer, in a sense, here are the riches, God gave him the capacity for the riches. Instead of destroying his enemies for him, God said, I will give you the capacity to make peace with them. I'll give you the capacity to win them. I'll give you the ability to do things you could not do before. Rather than giving it all to him without his participation, God said, Solomon, no. I'm going to give you the capacity to do it. I want to define capacity for you. Would you jot it down? Definition will be on screen. Capacity is simply the ability to receive, contain, perform, or withstand. It is the ability to receive from God, to contain what God has given you, to perform the things of God, and to withstand the attacks of the enemy. You have the capacity to do great and mighty things for God. And if you are willing tonight, God wants to expand your capacity. He wants you to see beyond your current situation, to see beyond your current small need, and realize that God can and wants to do great things through you. That he wants to do great things in your life, that he can do them. It's time for us here at Anthem to level up. It's time for us to kind of step into the next place. And I just feel like I'm a person that's supposed to walk you to the edge of the pool and push you in tonight. Are y'all with me? Can I do that? The water is fine. Jesus' plan for you is great. And it's time to develop some passion and pour it out into the things of God. This is not a season to step back. This is not a season to say, I don't know. No, this is a season to say, I trust you, God. Take me wherever you will take me. See, Solomon grew into the capacity that God wanted him to grow into. Tonight, I would ask you, are you willing to grow to your full capacity? Are you willing to grow to your full capacity so that you would hear, well done, good and faithful servant? I want you to jot a few things down about capacity. Here's the first thing. Everyone in this room has a capacity right now. Every single one of you, you have a capacity to hold, to withstand, to perform miracles, to do great things, to withstand the enemy. You currently are carrying a capacity. You have limitations, but you have capacity to do great things. We discover this in Matthew chapter 25 when it says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. The one, to one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his capacity, each according to their ability. You have currently a capacity to do great things. Secondly, I want you to understand that you can expand your capacity. You can expand your capacity. You can do bigger things than you ever thought you could do. God will take you places that you never thought you would go. For heaven's sakes, last year I was praying, God, would you develop some relationships with our church, some international relationships, because I believe that our missions portfolio needs some places to go that we can contribute and be a part of their journey and see God doing great things. And I'm standing next to a pool with a man who's praying for God to give him wisdom about how to assimilate people in a growth track in a church. And he walks up to me. His name is Pastor Rich here. And he walks up and he says, I said, Pastor, what are you looking for? He says, I need someone who will help me to learn about this thing you call growth track. What he didn't know is that I was the architect of the growth track. And he walks up and I said, I've been praying for God to develop relationships with somebody in the world that we can partner together and make a difference. In one moment, God answered both our prayers. And here we are 13 months later, stepping into a calling that's bigger than what I saw before. See, some of us want to know where God wants and why God wants. And listen, I want to know who God wants. Listen to what I'm saying. Who is so much more important than where, what, and why? And when you meet someone who's far from God, you know that's who you're supposed to meet. When you meet someone that's close to God, you know that's who you're supposed to partner with, regardless of where it is in the world. What I'm saying to you is that you have to expand your capacity. You haven't even scratched the surface of your capacity. But some of us still think we're left out. Some of us say that God is playing some sort of game where he's picking this one and not that one, where God has favorites. And I will tell you, God does have favorites. But you get the choice whether you be his favorite or not. See, the blessing and the favor of God is like an umbrella. And you choose to come under the umbrella or you choose to live outside the umbrella. Today, if you're here and you're considering faith in Jesus Christ, can I encourage you to come under the umbrella? Can I encourage you to open your heart to Jesus? You may say, wow, I like the environment, but it's a little different than what I grew up in. Praise God, that's me too. I grew up in a very quiet denominational church environment that is just we prayed our prayers and we walked out, but we didn't know God. Today I would encourage you to open your heart to choosing to be one of God's favorites. I actually do believe that God has favorites, but I also believe that God created some of us just to be weird. Do you know? I believe that every third person that God created, he just created to be weird. Now, if you look to the left and they look normal, okay. You look to the right, they look normal. It could be you, all right? Could be you. You could be that one. But here's what you need to know. God chose the foolish things to confound the wise. God chose the C student from South Louisiana and 50 states to use him to speak in South Africa. Why? Why? So that God would get all the glory. So that God would get all the glory. Amen, everybody. So that I would not be able to stand up and say, hey, you're here for me. You're not. You're here for him. And I'm just a conduit. I have no ability. I have no strength. I have no anointing without God. All I am is someone receiving a blessing and handing you a blessing. And I've recognized that my capacity is not to hold blessing, but to receive blessing and to pour out blessing. As the Apostle Paul said, my life is just a drink offering poured out for God. Just poured out for God. Matthew 25 continues and says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and he settled accounts with them. And the man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. You can gain more. You have the capacity to double what God has already given you. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. So you have a capacity. You can expand your capacity. And lastly, my legacy is bigger. Your legacy is bigger than your current capacity. See, what is in front of us is bigger than our current capacity. See, listen, moving locations isn't about having more seats because the seats aren't the church. You are the church. And having more seats won't grow the church. Growing your capacity to reach the world will grow the church. Why should we grow the church? Not so that we can say, oh, Anthem is so big. No, no. Who cares about that? You know why we need to grow? Heaven and hell are realities. There are people all around us who are walking by us daily who will not spend eternity with God. I know I'm preaching. I'm preaching way better than you're amening right now. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So good. You just saved 3 minutes off the message right there. I want you to know that your legacy is bigger. You're going to have to stretch for this. But you won't be stretching alone. We'll be doing this together. See, our legacy here is to love people that are different than us. To find those who have less than us and to bring them up. To find those who have more than us to encourage and be to learn from. To find people who have a different view on life and to care about them. To find and discover people who don't understand the things of God and lean into that relationship so that we can grow and care and show them that Jesus, he's not here to cause them pain but to save them. And to love them. See, the problem is that most of the world, their experience and their understanding of God and Jesus Christ as the Savior has come from weird Christians and crazy Christians who've gone too far. And what we need to be is a life-giving, loving people. Amen? We need to be a people that's coming along and grabbing their hand and saying, come with me. Many years ago in South Louisiana, as I began to pastor, much like BJ, I led a little bit of worship and I preached back-to-back, BJ. I used to do both. And we were trying to reach into a community. And if I were honest with you, we were a very white church. On Sundays, we were a very white church. And I began to recognize that the community that we were in was very diverse and that God wanted us to do something. So as a youth pastor, we started to reach into communities where children's parents weren't saved, where they didn't know God, where they looked differently than we did. And all of a sudden, in our small community church, we started having children come from every background. And can I tell you, it was really fun. We had a dynamic worship team. We were the only worship band in our community. And so kids would just come to see what was happening in the music. And they would start dancing. And it was so fun to see them dance. But some of them didn't know you don't do certain dances in church. I had to give them a few lessons that in church, your hips can go side to side, but never front to back. Amen, everybody. And in that time, a young lady came to our service. She was in school. She was about 14 years old, and her name was Shalina. And Shalina would come to be the closest young black lady that I would ever know in my life. She became one of our closest friends, and we would share a stage, and we would sing with one another. And today, we're here together now in New Orleans, almost 20 years later, and you know who's still standing on the stage with me? Is this young, beautiful, black lady who loves Jesus, who's passionate about Jesus. And together as a family and her family, we are declaring to the world that we are for different people. That we are for people that look different than we do and care about people who are different than us. And I need you to understand that the legacy of Anthem Church doesn't look just like you. It looks like the people all around you. It looks like heaven. And I'm so excited that this room is already starting to look like heaven. How about you? It's so good to see that God has already begun a great work. And what we're going to continue to do is to keep expanding into it and press into it. And can I encourage you, what you need more than ever is to find somebody that's really different than you. And see them every week and talk to them every week and love them. And find out the nuances of the differences and begin to laugh at your differences and enjoy your differences and poke a little fun at your differences and go through life together. In the process of that, God will do great things. See, what God wants to do through you is bigger than you. As we conclude in Matthew chapter 25, the passage ends rather challenging because you know he gave one 5 bags of gold, one 2 bags of gold, and one bag. And the one who had 5 multiplied it, doubled it, and the one who had 2 multiplied it. But there was a person who had capacity but didn't expand their capacity. Rather, they hid their capacity. They buried it in the sand. And when the master came back, they brought their capacity to him, but they had not done more than what God had given them. And it ends in a very negative way. You ought to read on your own. But in verse 28, the master says, take the bag of gold from him. And give it to the one who has 10 bags. So the person who expanded their capacity the most, he said, I'm going to give you more. Why? Why? Because God can trust you with the more. He can trust that if he keeps pouring it into your life, you'll pour it into other lives. That you expand the kingdom, not for yourself, not for your glory, but for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he gave it to him. He says, for whoever has will be given more. And they will have, say it with me, they will have an abundance. See, God has given you a capacity for more. And today, I want to help you. I want to help you to discover that capacity, to carry that capacity to the world. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. This all happens according to his power that is at work within us. God has the ability to do more than you ever dreamed. I've got some big dreams. How about you? And I keep stepping up and saying, God, this has to be a dream for you because it's bigger than me. Because if you can accomplish your dream, it's probably a good one, but not a God one. What you need is a family called Anthem to surround you, to believe in, and to go for that dream with you and to expand our capacity. Jada, if you would come and join me as we prepare to close. I want to give you 3 questions and prayers that I believe that will answer. The answer will be not in what I would tell you to do, but rather what God would tell you to do. Because I don't know your capacity. I don't know what God has individually called you to do, which business he's called you to start for the kingdom, which neighborhood he's called you to win for the kingdom. I don't know what that is, but I do know is the capacity to do more is in you. And God has placed it in you. So I want to give you 3 questions. I want to give you 3 prayers that if you'll ask yourself and pray to God, I believe God will speak to you. And who knows if your life group isn't the one that wins a neighborhood? Who knows if it isn't your mission work that God's placed in your heart that begins to expand the kingdom? Who knows if you're not the next domino foundation in this city that will reach further and do greater things? Because your capacity is bigger. Here's the first question. It's a motivation question. We should ask, why? Why do I want God to give me more? See, this is so important because your motivation is important. Is it for you? Or is it for God? Is your prayer for your needs? Or have you come to the grips that God is a provider and He's always already making a way for you? Your prayer is that, God, you would give me more so that I can pour into the world. Some of us aren't motivated the way we should or hungry to begin with. Some of us, it's time to stir a hunger inside of us for God to do greater things. So Psalm 139, he prays, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Here's my prayer. Would you read it with me? Lord, I want what you want for me. Come on, say that with me. Lord, I want what you want for me. God, I don't want for me. I want what you want for me. I want the capacity that you have given me. I want to do the things that you've called me to do. See, I believe the days of Elijah are coming back. The days where the hearts of fathers and the hearts of sons would be joined together. And the hearts of mothers and the hearts of daughters would be joined together. I believe God is doing something great, and we want what God wants in our city. The second question is a stewardship question, where we say, am I using what God has already given me at full capacity? This is an important one, because if you want God to give you more, you're going to have to use what He's already given you. And if you've been hoarding your gift, if you've been sitting on your hands, as we say in America, if you've been sitting on your gift and your ability, God is waiting for you to lift your hands, to offer them to the world and say, I have something to pour. And listen, you may say, I'm too young, Pastor. No, you're not. You may say, I'm too old. No, you're not. If you're still sucking air today, God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. He's not done with you yet. If He was, you would be with Him already. God has more for you. I want to encourage some of you older men and women to recognize that God has called you to pour into the next generation, to make sure that they have wisdom and care and love. And some of you young people, it's time for you to step in and pour passion into this place. The way we say it in our church is that the young people, we let them determine what we look like and what we sound like. We let older people determine who we are. And we have married the generations. And much like the worship tonight, it's passionate. It's exciting, but it's founded on the Word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says this: after looking at the way things are on this earth, here's what I've decided is the best way to live. Anthem: take care of yourself, have a good time, and make the most of whatever job you have for as long as God gives you life. And that's about it. That's the human lot. Yes, we should make the most of what God gives, both the bounty and the capacity to enjoy it, accepting what God's given and delighting in the work. I need you to understand that stewardship of what you already have is the pathway to the miraculous. If you steward what you have already been given, God will answer prayers like never before. So here's our prayer. Lord, give me wisdom, insight, and understanding to steward the capacity you've given me. Lord, would you give me wisdom, insight, and understanding? I pray this every day, church. God, give me wisdom, insight, and understanding, the capacity to do all that you call me to do. Here's the last, and we close together. It's a faith question. That is, do I believe that God can and wants to do more through me? Do you believe that God wants to do this through you? See, I think many of you would say, yes, Pastor, I believe God wants to do that through you, Pastor. But I'm here to tell you that we aren't better. We're just called to go first. That we are the church of Jesus Christ, and there is a capacity in you. And I need you to stir some faith in your heart and life that God is calling you to lead worship, that God is calling you to save souls, that God is calling you to go into the world. I feel as though I've preached you quiet, but I believe God is meeting you right now. believe he's meeting you. Luke chapter 5 in the Message translation says this. Simon said, "Master, we've been fishing hard all night. We haven't even caught a minnow. But if you say so, God, if you say so, I'll let out the nets once more here in Durban. I'll let the nets out once more." And it was no sooner said than done. A huge haul of fish, straining the nets past capacity. And they waved to their partners in the other boats to come help them. You're going to have to wave to other partner churches to come and help you with the harvest. I believe what God is doing with Sisterhood right now is the beginning of stretching the nets beyond capacity. So it's not about Anthem, it's about God. It's not about one church, it's about the church. It's not about what we can do, but what we can do as a whole in this city. And what God would do here. They filled the boats, nearly swamping them with the catch. Here's our prayer. Lord, increase my faith and capacity for more. Would you say that with me? Come on, full voice. Lord, increase my faith and capacity. Many years ago, my firstborn child is a boy much like me. He's got lots of energy, lots of passion, lots of excitement. What that typically means is I have to apologize twice a day to my wife, once for me and once for him. He loved to jump on things as a two-year-old. He would jump on the sofa. He would jump on the table. He would jump. We were always trying to save his life. So my wife devised a plan for us to buy a trampoline. But she said, we're going to get a trampoline that has a net all the way around the outside of it that we can zip him in to the trampoline. Come on, some of you parents know what this is like. If only we could lock them somewhere safe for a little while. Welcome to Anthem's kids, right? Huh? So I spent an afternoon, 4 or 5 hours, putting the trampoline together, and we're nearing the end of the day, and my little two-year-old comes running out, and I'm wanting to zip him in and just sit back and watch him jump, and he's like, Dad, you got to jump with me. You got to get in with me. And so you know what I did? I zipped myself into the trampoline. We began to jump and jump and jump, and the sun began to set, and it was one of these beautiful evenings where the sun was setting, but the moon was visible in the sky. I was laying down on the trampoline with my two-year-old man-child. I was just so excited to have a boy. Come on, Dad, you know what that's like. So excited to have him. And he points to the sky and he says, "What's that? What's that?" I said, "It's the moon." And he looked at me and he said, "Let's go get it, Dad. Let's go get it." I said, "Son, we can't get to the moon." And he kind of looked at me and he said, "Get the big ladder, Dad. Get the big ladder." I love how God speaks even moments out of the mouth of babes. I'm sitting there and the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He says, "Son, do you believe that I can do bigger things than what you can do on your own?" And I just heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "You need to get the big ladder, son. You need to believe that God can and wants to do bigger things than you than what you've ever seen before. It'll be your prayer that God answers in a miraculous way. It'll be your prayer that saves a neighborhood. It'll be your heart that God uses to reach this world." I believe it's time for us to take a step of faith together. Would you bow with me in prayer all around this room? Just for a moment, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here tonight under the sound of my voice, and you've listened to the worship and the encouragement about Jesus, but you know that you do not know Jesus. You've heard about him, and even tonight, maybe you're invited by a friend and you're still unsure, but there's something in your heart that's drawing you to him. Can I tell you, that's the Spirit of God welcoming you and inviting you to know him. You're one prayer away from making a step of faith that you experience the saving grace of Jesus. If you're here today, I'd like to pray that prayer with you. But if you're also here and you're like me, because of the challenges of life, you are further from God than you ever wanted to be. You've gotten distracted and you know tonight that you're not living up to the capacity that God has for you. I want to invite you to pray the same prayer because it's time to come home. It's time to come home to God. I won't embarrass you. I will not ask you to stand. I will not ask you to come to the front, but with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you don't know him or you're far from him, would you whisper this prayer? Come on, just full voice, whisper it with me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I'm inviting you into my life. And I'm asking you to be my Lord and my Savior. God, would you forgive me of my sin? Would you forgive me for trying to live this life on my own? And God, would you give me the power to follow you all the days of my life? In Jesus' name. Now, just a moment longer in prayer. If you're here today and you believe that God wants to expand your capacity and you're ready, would you open your hands right there in your lap? Come on, just as a sign of receiving. I believe God wants to pour some things into your hands so that you can pour it into other lives. God, I lift up Anthem Church right now. And God, by the anointing that you've placed in my life, I place a blessing upon every single one of them in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you would fill their hands to capacity and more. God, I pray that you would give them an abundance that goes beyond what they currently see or even plan for. God, I pray that they would have business ideas and, Lord God, things that would expand the kingdom in dramatic ways. God, I pray that you give them ministry ideas and small group ideas and ways to reach this city. God, I pray that you would pour out your favor and blessing on them. And God, what we will do is not hold it, but pour it out willingly. Come on, you tell him that. God, we'll pour it out willingly. God, if you entrust us with more, we'll give it to the world. And God, what we will say when the world comes to see what's happened here, we will say, not to us, O God, but to your name be all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.